MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Our big changes at the South African Reserve Bank are sparking a degree of alarm in financial circles. Now, the bank has quietly tightened exchange control rules for non-residents. That's a move that could, as I understand it, make it harder, maybe even slower and more expensive for foreign investors to access their South African income. The Institute for International Tax and Finance calls it an own goal, warning it could deter investment, reduce liquidity on the JSE, and even undermine confidence in just the months after South Africa has been taken off the Financial Action Task Force grey list. Well, let's explore this in a little more detail. Michael Kranstorff is with me, director at the Institute. Michael, thank you very much indeed. Let's start with the basics. What exactly has the Reserve Bank changed, and why, in your opinion, is the timing raising such concern?
Thanks for having me on the show, Jeremy. The Reserve Bank has basically tightened exchange control for non-residents. Historically, non-residents didn't require to obtain a tax clearance certificate from SARS in order to send income that they generated in South Africa abroad. That was a special exemption that non-residents were given. But last week, without warning, the Reserve Bank changed that and instituted the requirement that non-residents now need to apply to SARS for a tax clearance certificate to remit quite a lot of different categories of income, not all, weirdly, but just dividends, for example, rental income, director's fees. Mm. These are the categories of income that non-residents now require to apply to SARS for a tax clearance certificate in order to send those funds abroad.
And done by stealth, it seems. Do we know why?
No, we don't. In fact, over the last few years, there's been a relaxation of exchange controls. So why they would tighten up, and particularly targeting non-residents, doesn't really make much sense. These are people, many of them, that have already left South Africa but still retain assets in the country. And, after this, people are going to sell whether it be their properties that they're renting out or their South African shares, and say, I'd much rather have my money abroad where I can access income from it whenever I want to.
You've called this an own goal. What exactly do you mean by that? And I guess I've got to ask how well it would seem to be a well-intentioned regulatory tweak could end up hurting investor confidence instead of maybe strengthening it.
Putting obstacles in the way of investors to access their income from South African source investments deters investment. Why would you put your money in South Africa, in the South African Stock Exchange, as a non-resident if you have to wait a month and apply to SARS for permission to get your dividends out of the country? There's many other emerging markets with attractive returns, and you'd much rather invest in those exchanges. So hurting non-residents with increased compliance and burdensome tax clearance certificates deters investment and doesn't make South Africa an attractive investment destination. It's crazy at this time. We've worked so hard over the last 2 years to get off the FATCA grey list and improve the climate in South Africa in terms of the financial services industry and make it attractive for foreign investment. And now you sort of throw sand in their eyes and make it difficult for them to invest here.
And Michael, one of your sharper criticisms is around inconsistency. Why does that matter so much in practice?
The problem is that certain categories of income now require this tax clearance certificate and others don't. Dividends do, interest doesn't. Individual investors abroad won't know this. They have to consult with tax practitioners like myself to know when they need an ART, when they don't. And the banks, the exchange control departments of the banks, it adds complexity to their job, having to know when tax clearance is required to remit funds and when it's not. The banks are already struggling with the current simpler legislation. To get money out of South Africa for non-residents is already a challenge. And this is only going to complicate their task more and make it more difficult. And this inconsistency just makes no sense. It just adds complexity for no reason.
Have you started to put numbers around how this move could impact maybe market liquidity and sentiment?
We know that historically that foreign investors were quite large on the JSE. Before COVID, there were almost 50% of the JSE was actually owned by foreign investors. That's declined markedly over the last few years. Estimates range between now 30% and some even as low as in the 20s. And you know, moves like this are only going to make that worse. And South Africa desperately needs foreign capital to grow, and moves like this just you know, discourage that and push foreign investors away.
So you're urging the bank then to review the policy and introduce a de minimis threshold for small transactions. In your opinion, then, what would a sensible investor-friendly fix look like?
Yeah, I would reverse the decision and go back to not requiring a tax clearance certificate for income generated by non-residents in South Africa. But even then, I would, you know, not residents are entitled to a what's called a single discretionary allowance, where you can take R1 million out of South Africa without requiring tax clearance to do so. But non-residents aren't afforded that same opportunity. And if just introducing that would make the life of so many non-residents much easier, if they could take R1 million out of South Africa without requiring tax clearance, that would really already improve the situation and reduce the compliance burden.
Thank you very much for talking to me today, Michael Krantzdorf, Director at the Institute for International Tax and Finance. I appreciate your time.